series we're in the middle of called CrossFit. And I'm not sure how many have ever participated in CrossFit. It's kind of a fitness kind of club where they just do everything. And please, if you have not gone, don't go. It's horrible, all right? So I'm a member of a gym. Is Kim still here? Kim from worship? She might have gone and back for a second. Well, Kim, our worship leader, her boyfriend actually runs a fitness club in the city. It's kind of exclusive. It's called Equinox. Has everyone heard of Equinox before? You go there, it's kind of like a big league workout. So I've been there a couple times, free pass. To go in there, and like I was unbelievably uncomfortable at Equinox. Okay, like you're in there, and it feels like you're kind of like on the red carpet of gyms. Like if you ever see, we just had the Golden Globes and that thing, and it's amazing how it has little to do with the awards and everything to do about what you're wearing. And Equinox was kind of like that, you know. As I walked into the gym, I mean, someone had like a Chanel weightlifting belt. I didn't even know they made such things, right? And you know, the women got their Louboutin, you know, workout red on the bottom of their shoes, and so that kind of thing. So I was very uncomfortable in that place. I felt like I had to apologize for sweating, you know, and because I'm from ghetto workout place, all right? So I work out at New York Sports Clubs, and we have one, a few of them here in New Jersey. And so I promise you this is true. Like you could go into my gym and you'll find this guy is there. There's a guy who has a t-shirt. He's lifting in cutoff jeans and he has his shirt says, I work out because I really like beer. All right. That's who I'm lifting weights with in that place. And it's very Jersey. So we have kind of our Jersey Shore people. So we have like the Pauly D's. If you're tracking with me, I know Christians would never watch such things, but we got the guy in there with it. You know, he's got I don't know how else to call it, but it's been called now the wife beater tank top, if that's offensive. I don't mean to be, I'm just being descriptive, and he'll have that tank top on with the gold chains. You know, he's doing that, and every 2 seconds he's lifting up his shirt in the mirror to check out his abs, and so that guy's in there. Now, I do have this woman existed by Jim. Who she's just, well, I'll just call her, I'm going to get me a husband. That lady is working out at the gym, so she's got, her makeup is all done up. She's had a fresh blowout before she gets to the gym. She never actually lifts weights, but she is around the weights at times, okay? And so she's definitely there at that place. I've crossed over a threshold in my life where I just recently turned 47. I no longer care what I look like, you know, and if you're at that place and stage in life, it's good to be, like, I work out, and as God is my witness, I work out in Skechers. Anyone ever have Skechers shoes? They're unbelievably comfortable, yet kind of frumpy, right? And so that's kind of where I'm at in my life. But without a doubt, the coolest people are the ones that wear this line of clothing, Under Armour. Have we ever seen Under Armour? Listen, men, if you have not caught on to Under Armour, you need to get it. It's Spanx for men, okay? And man, like, if you don't know what Spanx is, you can ask your spouse or another woman here in this place, and it's the greatest invention ever because it'll suck and tuck in places where it makes you look much better than you actually are. And so men, Under Armour, you got to get after it. And so the reason I mention that is God is going to give Under Armour for the believer, for the follower of Jesus Christ, that God has armor for us to put in. And that's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And that's what we'll be this morning. And in Ephesians 6, I don't know if you're new with us, what we do in the summertime is we'll actually go through an entire book of the Bible. And about 2 years ago, we went through the book of Ephesians. And when we did, we referenced the fact that Ephesians breaks down into like three sections. There's a great theologian, author, his name was Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee, he wrote a book, a commentary on the book of Ephesians, and he called it Sit, Walk, Stand. And not stop, drop, roll, follow me, Sit, Walk, Stand. And it breaks down the book of Ephesians. The first section is about how that we, as believers in Christ, that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's this unbelievable idea that we have a rest from works of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Paul will go down in the second section of Ephesians, and he'll say, since therefore we're seated with Christ, now we walk a certain way and we live a certain way. And then in the end of the book, and now listen, now Paul just kind of hijacks this beautiful, sweet book where Jesus said, where Paul's saying, oh, we're seated with Christ and we're one together in Christ. There's no more longer Jew or Gentile, male or female, but we're one. And so it's this beautiful thing until we get to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul's going to talk about standing. And so it's just like all of a sudden, hey, it's beautiful. You're seated with him. Oh, in chapter 6. And by the way, there's a devil, and he's scheming to get you. We're going to read about that. Oh, and another thing, there's wicked demonic forces in the heavenly realms. Watch out for them. And by the way, here's a sword. Here's a helmet. Here's a breastplate and a shield. You're going to need these. And then Paul's like, I'm out. And he leaves us hanging with that. Like, do you know what that's like? I mean, that would be like, I don't know how many of us have children, but that's like you call your babysitter over to watch your kids. Hey, these are my daughters, Cassie and Lizzie. The wife and I are going to go out for a little while. Here's your pistol. You're going to need this. And by the way, milk's in the fridge. They should be to bed by 7. You might want to bolt the door before we leave because people are out to kill us. All right, that's kind of what Paul just did to us when he talks about the full armor of God. And so here's the reality. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, I got great news for you. You get peace with Almighty God with a little bit of a caveat. Unfortunately, you get war with the devil, okay? But here's the flip side is prior to that, you were called an enemy of God. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, that Paul refers to us as objects of God's wrath. And so what good news it is that now we've been reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ, and now we have peace with our Heavenly Father, but we do get a little bit of war thrown in there with the devil. I got good news, too, is if you haven't read the book yet, if you flip all the way to the back, we win, all right? The great news is this, is that for the believer, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory, and that's it's a different story. And then if you want, you could tweet that out. That's a good one, all right? You guys can do that one. But anyways, here's what I'll start here is, see, four times in these eight verses we're going to read this morning, Paul's going to say, stand, stand, stand again. And having done all to stand, hey, we better stand. And so he's driving home this point, this idea is that as long as we stay standing in our relationship with Christ, we're good, we're strong, we're unmovable. And so Paul's trying to keep us in our sweet spot, which is in him. And so I'm not sure how many watched the games yesterday. So it's funny, I used to be embarrassed about talking about sports illustrations. How many know NFL is beyond sports now, all right? It is just taking over the world. And so the evil empire was playing yesterday, the New England Patriots. And they have a quarterback there. His name is Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, all right? You might know him as Tom Brady, Tom Terrific to some of you, who, for the record, if you do like him, you are not eligible to be a member of Every Nation New Jersey, just for the record, okay? It is in our covenant. We can be, you're welcome here, you just cannot be a member, all right? And here's the other thing is, so I'm going to be brutally honest, and I need the grace of God to cover me. I don't like Tom Brady. See, the Lord says in his word, he says that he's not a respecter of persons. I don't think that's true. Because if you look at Tom Brady, like, first of all, can we look at him? Do we have a picture of him? So there's Tom Brady wearing his four NFL Super Bowl rings, three of those four Super Bowls, he was the MVP. He just recently, he signed a $57 million contract, which before you think that's so great, I don't know if you noticed, the dude is sickeningly, I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up, good looking. Like, it's just not fair. You should not be that good looking. But if it wasn't enough, he married a Brazilian supermodel, Gisele Bündchen. So I don't know if you've seen, like, and here's the crazy thing. Do you know how much money she's worth? $360 million is what she's worth. So how crazy is this? He's the trophy wife, okay? I mean, have you ever thought about that? And so so all that, it makes me hate him even more. And because it just seems not fair. And so, but here I see DeMario Davis in the back, our New York Jets linebacker. We're praying for DeMario, and we're praying that God signs him back here in New Jersey. But DeMario will amen this what you need to do for Tom Brady. He will pick you apart on the field unless what you can do is get him off his spot. All right, and what that means is he wants to drop back. I don't know if it's three steps or whatever, but he wants to stay in what they call the pocket. And if he can stay on his spot, he will pick you apart. But if you can get pressure on him and get him out of the pocket and off his spot, he is average. And in fact, sometimes when he starts to run, he looks funny and very unathletic, and I kind of like it, okay? So that's kind of what it is. And so the reality is for you and I, when we get off the spot, when we get out of being in Christ, we become vulnerable. And so what we do every week, every Sunday, we have Sunday service. Why? Because we want to keep you on the spot. That we do connect groups on a weekly basis because we want to keep you on the spot. We have a growth track that's trying to equip you to mature in your walk with Christ, that you're unmovable on the spot that God's given you to hold. And so let's open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Let's look at verse 10 through 18. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Lord, I pray that you give us grace this morning, Lord, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just pick this apart, and for the record, some of you that are worried, like, that's a lot of armor that this guy is going to talk about this morning. You can pump the brakes. I'm only going to get through about two of them, and we'll continue it later. But notice, I did want to point out that Paul says this, that our struggle, our fight, our wrestle is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. It's evil forces in the heavenly realms. And so what Paul is saying, hey, people aren't your problem. And I know at times that can be hard for us to get our heads around, but if I could illustrate it this way, I see we have a few new guests, and I played professional hockey for about 14 seasons, and the reality is what we are is just high priced juveniles. And that's just the truth, like still little kids at heart. And so what we would do, these professional athletes, is we'd play jokes on one another all the time. So practical jokes was just kind of our culture. So here's what has happened to me on numerous occasions. I would go back to my hotel room, and I would go back, and my bed would be missing. Like, where is my bed at? And I would open the bathroom door, and my bed was in the bathroom. And so it's like, that's one of the, that's what we do, and we got you. And so if you were to fall asleep on the airplane, that could be deadly to you, because you would wake up, your tie would be cut, which was cute when you'd get it at TJ Maxx, but if it was a Versace, you know, like too high, it wasn't so funny anymore. And then if you fall asleep, inevitably someone would put shaving cream on the top of your head. As God is my witness, we had one of the beat reporters fell asleep, and so they shaving creamed his head, and he went through Canadian customs with a big thing. "Do you have anything to declare, sir?" "No, you got something on your head, man." So that was kind of going on. And then if you fell asleep, please, God help you, if your mouth ever opened up, Lord knows what kind of foreign object your teammate was going to put in your mouth. And so that was basically how we rolled. And I was not a very good practical joker, though occasionally I would try, but it would always backfire on me. And so one thing we would do is we were praying. I remember this distinctly. We're in Calgary, Alberta. We're playing against the Calgary Flames. It's the pregame skate. It's prior to the game. And so we're just practicing. And I see Ulf Samuelsson, who's right now he's one of the coaches for the New York Rangers. And Ulfie's coming off major knee construction on his knee. And so he's skating around in warm-ups. I have a puck, and I fire one at his skates because it hurts when it hits you in the skate, and then you giggle because he doesn't know who did it. And so I hit him in the skates, and he's like, what? No, excuse me. I shot the puck at him. He stepped on the puck, fell with his newly reconstructed knee, and he's hot when he gets back up. So he's looking for the first person, and he thinks it's Pat Verbeek, who's our captain. He skates over to Verbeek, punches him in his face, and they start fighting. Like, we're on the same team, and they're fighting. It's like the other team is watching us. They're like, what in the world, you know? And so I had to kind of go, I'm sorry, I did it, you know, like that. And so that's kind of how practical jokes with me. But do you know that that's kind of what Paul's talking about here? That our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but what he's saying is there's principalities, there's forces at play. And do you remember, did you hear what we read? That it says that the devil, he's scheming. He's trying to orchestrate things in your life. Like, you know that individual in your life that just has a knack of pushing your buttons? Do you know that person? Do you know that's orchestrated by forces that we are not privy to? That there's certain things in our life that help us, that'll set us off, that set off sin, that sets off sin, that sets off, and next thing you know, we're sinning against one another, and it just escalates, and it escalates. That C.S. Lewis, he wrote an entire book. It was called The Screwtape Letters, and in it, he talks about how the demonic world, that they actually disciple younger demons in how to thwart humanity to sin against God and to sin against one another. And so that's the picture. And I think if we were to examine our own hearts and our own souls, like you're beautiful. And I don't just mean like physically striking. I mean that you're beautiful because you've been created in the image of God. But the reality is as well that you're also broken. I'm broken. That there's things because sin has been introduced in the world and we see it manifested in our lives in certain ways. Like I saw this. You can YouTube this, but there's a guy in Brooklyn that there was a little girl on top of a four-story building, and she was autistic, and she walked out on the fourth story onto her air conditioner that was sitting outside of the apartment, and she began to dance on the outside of the air conditioner. Yet somebody is videotaping this happening. And they're like, oh, man, that's crazy. But then there's another gentleman who was in the area, and he's like, oh, my gosh. And he ran over, and he goes, this little girl's going to fall. And this little four-year-old girl went falling down, and he had the presence of mind to get over there catching her. And he tore his bicep open in doing it. But do you see that picture? Like, one person's response is to videotape it. Isn't that crazy? And another one is to come and sacrifice his body in order to rescue. Do you see what I mean? There's something beautiful and something broken inside of humanity. And so what'll happen is the enemy forces will begin to start pushing buttons. My pastor calls them this, that we all have loose planks in our soul. And we'll be doing good, but it just takes to someone has to set off that loose plank in your soul, and it'll buckle, and it'll set you off and react to do in certain ways. And so that's why we do things like Pastor Donnie leads us in cleansing streams. It's to tighten down those loose planks that we all have in our soul, that we don't give the enemy a place or a foothold in our life. And so Paul goes on and he says this, that there's a belt of truth. A belt of truth that we're to put on. And so when he talks about truth, I need you to hear this properly. He's not talking about, hey, don't lie. Although that's included in it. When Paul's talking about we put on truth, he's talking about this, ultimate reality. In other words, how life works. That's what Paul's talking about. And so let me ask you this. Where do you go to find ultimate truth for your life? Like, there's a way that life works, And you got to be able to figure it out. Where do you go for that truth? So do you go to the internet? Because Lord knows whatever's on the internet's true, right? If you've ever gone, there's some craziness on there. How about this? Maybe we can go to Siri. Siri can help us out. And I asked Siri yesterday, I was like, Siri, how does life work? And she took me to a life insurance website, which was helpful, and as well a book on biology and how life began. So Siri, swing and a miss. So where do you go for truth? Maybe we go to our culture. Our culture is schizophrenic on what's true. Aren't they? Isn't it? It's like our culture can't make up its mind. So here's some of the things I wrote down. So what's attractive? Like, so are tattoos attractive? Because like there was a time when they weren't, and now they're unbelievably cool. And now it just kind of, are we on our way out of the tattoo thing, and it's not so cool anymore? Where are we at in our culture? Because I don't know. And I'm getting old, all right? So I need to know if I need to get me a big old tat or not. So that's one. So what's attractive too? Jeans. So they used to be like real wide jeans, okay? And then they got skinny jeans, and now they've become obscene jeans, right? Like there's so, like, where are we going? I promise you, eventually we're going to swing back, and those baggy things will be back in again soon enough. Shirt, tuck or untuck? I'm still in the untuck, but believe me, the tuck is coming, all right? And so we see that's changing. Hey, what's cool? Like, is it a small phone or is it a big phone? I'm not sure where we're at now because I think they're getting bigger now. What is cool is small buds that go into your ears, or is it the big buds or the big earphones? Which one's cool right now? I'm not sure. Let me know because you're going to save me a few hundred dollars. And I have now this will be a little bit more serious though. Talking about our culture being confused. Do you know that if you go on Facebook, that there's 58 ways that you can identify yourself? So it used to be two, male or female. Now it's 58. So I can read you some of them. So male or female, male that identifies as a female that identifies as a male, gender fluid, bi, gender neutral. And so the list goes on and on. And my point is simply this, that our culture is confused and it's untethered. And yet it's just increasingly that way, rather than grabbing onto ultimate reality and ultimate truth. And so here's another one. Some of us, we think that we get to define truth, don't we? Now, if we were to be honest, and I could throw myself under the bus here too, sometimes you're just kind of going through life like you're trying to win the Powerball. Anybody? You know, you're just kind of making up numbers. Ooh, I hope this works. And come on, $1 billion. For the record, if I would have won, I was treating you all to original pancake this morning. All right, but I didn't. So sorry. But do you see what I mean? How we're just kind of guessing to see what works. And so we need to find an anchor in some place where we can find ultimate truth. Jesus says this: I am the truth. See, in John chapter 18, that Jesus is being interrogated by the Roman authority, Pontius Pilate. And as he's there with him in John 18, he says to Jesus, what have you done? And Jesus' response was this. He says, my kingdom, it's not of this world. If it was, I would have called my authorities and we would have handled business here. That's a paraphrase, but that's what he basically said. And here's, pick up Pilate's response in verse 37. He says, you're a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered him, you're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so Jesus is saying, do you want to find ultimate truth? The ultimate truth is me. That Jesus came down from heaven in order to display what ultimate reality looks like. Jesus, the way he lived his life, I only do what my Father says to do. I only say what my Father says to say. And it led him into perfect reality, or the way God designed the universe to operate. But you know what we can tend to do? We can say, yes, oh yeah, I believe Jesus. I believe he's truth. I believe God's word. But yet we're ignorant to it. Isn't that madness? that we can say, oh yeah, I believe this is how life works. Now, I have no idea what this thing says, but I believe that's true. It's insanity. Like, you know those little, when we got to update our iPhones every, whatever, twice a year, and then what you'll do, you have to wait for the stupid download and all that, but what do you have to do before all that? You have to accept the terms of agreement, right? And they give you like 3 pages of stuff you got to scroll through. How many have ever read that? Ever? Is that unanimous? Oh, Paul Samara in the back. All right, congratulations, Paul. You got to tell me what it says, bro. Because we all just scroll through accept. Why? Because I want to get my iTunes song, and I don't want to be bothered with doing this. And so we can approach God's word that way. And it's insanity, and it's madness. And God says, my people are destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. And so let's look at this, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. I need to go real fast. So here's what I want to do is, righteousness, it's not a term we can tend to think it just means you're a good person, and that's in there. But righteousness just means right standing. So we have a positional right standing with God if you know Christ Jesus. And so here's what I mean by that. And so my family, I'll illustrate it this way. My family has not been given the gift of song. Okay, is that all right? So when you see me in the front, you'll see me, but you'll never hear me singing. Because quite often I'm just lip syncing because the Holy Spirit has said in His Word, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I just kind of lip sync and do that thing. My wife, on a rare occasion, I will hear my wife sing. And I promise you this, the dogs turn their head like this, like it's some high-pitched noise. What is that sound? And for the record, my oldest daughter, Cassie, I've never heard her sing ever. She's 24. She's not two, 24. And it was funny. We had a Pure Life Women's Conference held in the city. I was one of the pastors there. And so I'm sitting up in the balcony as I'm watching this worship conference. And a young lady, my daughter, or so I thought, got on the stage. Spotlight is on her as they're beginning to do a special for worship. I'm like, what in the world is my daughter doing up there? This is going to go bad. Suddenly, she starts singing this angelic song, you know, and I'm like, oh my, people are weeping in the place. And then I'm like, that ain't my daughter, you know? And so sure enough, but she looks so much like my daughter that I had mobs of people from our church, Pastor Adam, your daughter has the voice of an angel. And I'm like, I just rolled with it. I'm like, thank you, you know? You know, just kind of that thing. And really, that's the picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we have a positional righteousness. That, you know, that God doesn't, He doesn't hire you. He says, hey, if you'll perform for me, I'll give you heaven. That's not how it works. God doesn't hire you. He adopts you. That you're His son. That you're His daughter. And every parent should amen me on this, that despite the fact that your kid's a mess or blows up or does stuff, there's nothing that changes the reality. That's my son. That's my daughter. There's this thing that can't be broken. You have that in Christ Jesus. But what I want to do is let you know is this, though, is Paul's saying, he says that make sure that righteousness, there's a positional righteousness that's unmovable, but there's a relational righteousness or relational right standing with God that can become very movable. And so I'll point it out to you this way. See, when you're not positionally in place in right relationship with somebody, then what happens, your relationship becomes vulnerable to attack. And so for us, so take, for example, my wife and I. So we're positionally in right standing with one another. We have the rings on, okay? And so there's a position that we have there as husband and wife. The scriptures would say this, that we are one. I hope this isn't too real, but occasionally we hit, I'll just call it a rough patch. Anyone been there before? If you're with your spouse, don't amen that. All right. But what can happen is that relational righteousness can start to break apart and fall apart. And so what'll happen is we'll do what all people do. my wife and I, so say for example, my wife does something very mean to me, or she does something wrong, all right, don't repeat that, she's in the nursery right now, okay, so okay, I do something wrong, tension, and now what happens? Pouting, silent treatment, so I'm not going to talk to you for a little while. What we can do is we create that 3-foot gap in the bed where you're as far over as you can possibly without actually falling out of the bed. And so we have that moment, and there's all this separation. And then what happens? Suddenly, now that our relationship has become vulnerable to attack. Facebook, okay, we go on there. Oh, they look like they have a great marriage. Why does my marriage suck? These guys, it looks like, oh, they're my old flame. Oh, look at them. They're looking okay, right? And so on. Do you see how this thing can begin to escalate? Our relationship becomes vulnerable. That's why the scriptures say in Ephesians, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And so you got to be quick to repent and quick to get back in line. And I'm going to ask Kim, if Kim's in here, if she should come up and play some. Thanks, Kim. So let me get to the point there about being relationally separated from Almighty God, is to make yourself vulnerable in your relationship with Him. Let me do it this way. Do you know Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3? In Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God is unbelievably present as He creates. Chapter 2, as He walks with man. In Genesis 3, for the first time ever, we see God is absent from the narrative. And what happens? In that void, in that separation, a serpent is introduced, and he begins to lie to the man and to the woman, and we find ourselves now living in a world broken with sin. Isaiah 59:2 says this, that your iniquities have separated you from your God, that sin has hidden His face from you. Do you see the relational separation, despite the fact that there's positional unity? And so what we need to do is we need to keep short accounts with God. That Romans chapter 2, it says this, that it's God's kindness that leads you to repentance. That when we sin against God and there's that separation, that it's the Holy Spirit saying, come back, repent, humble yourself. And it's in that nearness. If you'll be quick to stay close and near to the God of the universe, then you stay in your spot, that you will be unmovable from the attacks of the enemy. A great picture of this is, the Apostle John, that he was called the apostle whom Jesus loved. And here's the crazy thing. Whenever you read about John in his gospel, he's right next to Jesus. At the Last Supper, he's leaning on the breast of Jesus. That as Jesus, he hung on the cross, that we don't hear of any of the other disciples there, but John. He says to John, he says, my mama is now going to be your mama. And then lastly, we see at the resurrection that words out that the stone has been rolled away and Jesus is gone. And it says that John and Peter ran to the tomb. And I love what John says in his own gospel. He says, and John outran Peter. He had to get that little dig in there. But so we see this, John always wants to be near to the Christ. You know what's crazy? All the other disciples were martyred, but John. That the Roman authorities tried to kill John, dip him in a vat of oil. He wouldn't die. They couldn't kill him. It freaked him out, and so they exiled him to Patmos, the Isle of Patmos, because they just didn't know what to do with this guy. So I'm not saying, hey, if you're close, you're just never going to die. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying is there's a strength as we're relationally knitted to Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. And as we talk about putting on the full armor of God, and Lord, I know the each and every life in here that we've all been subject to attacks from the enemy. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us find our spot in you. God, that our roots would go down deep and we would have this indestructible, undefeatable, Lord, armor of your presence and your protection. So I thank you that you do all these things. We thank you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.